All right, for Starburst tonight, we're going to do a little something different. So what we were talking about this morning, does anybody remember what we were talking about this morning? What's our topic for today? Purpose of pruning, right, is to bear fruit. That's right, yeah. So pruning, yep, we talked about what that was. But yeah, the purpose is to bear fruit. And this morning, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit. And so what I am going to ask you guys, don't raise your hands right away. So what we're going to do is we're going to take the 9 fruit of the Spirit from Galatians 5:22 that we looked at today. If you want to turn there, you can. And I want to hear how you saw a fruit of the Spirit in someone else today. Okay? So just a quick story about how you saw a fruit of the Spirit in someone else today. And we're going to go through them in order, okay? So the first one is love, and I'm going to ask you to share it, so I'll bring the mic to you, okay? So who has a story about how they saw someone love today? Someone else love today? Come on, I know there's been lots of love in this camp today. Counselors, you can share too. All right, we got one back there. Awesome. There you go.
So we had somebody jump off the dock or the high jump on the lake for the first time, and everybody on the dock and everybody could see was cheering.
Oh.
It was really cool because they were showing love even if they didn't exactly know by name. So
that's awesome. That's a great story. Perfect. That's perfect. Yes, there's your Starburst. All right. How about joy? Who's got a story about joy? Oh, right here. All right. All right. Joy. Yep.
So when we were building the sandcastles as a group team, most of us were building the main castle, and then some of us had an idea to build something up beside it, and people were really joyful that we were coming up with new ideas on how to build the sandcastle.
Awesome. Yes. Yes. That's a great story. Perfect. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Those are exactly the kind of stories I'm looking for, guys. And so, yeah, that's awesome. And you know what's cool about the fruit of the Spirit is a lot of them, I think, are kind of contagious, you know? They're contagious, and that's great. All right, love, joy, peace. We got some peace back here. You got a peace story? All right, here we go. Here we go. There you go.
So, like, we had fishing this morning, and I got my reel stuck in the tree. Long story. Basically, I ended up going squirrel fishing. Looking back, we had to get out of the water for a while because of the thunderware. As I was just looking around, and everybody was kind of just standing around, being peaceful and stuff, and then I found Davis, my brother, walking down the path, and he just looked really peaceful.
Awesome. Very cool. A peaceful fishing morning. Ready? Here we go.
Can I get a Starburst for that?
All right. It was about you? Sorry, it's the story that gets the Starburst. All right, I better go to the other side here. Love, joy, peace. Who over here has a story about patience?
Oh.
Adelie, you got one about patience? Okay, all right. I got to show a little favoritism to my daughter, okay? Come on. Come on, take the microphone. All right.
When we were playing volleyball, I'm really bad at it, and I missed the ball. And he was like, good try, you can do it again. And they were, like, really patient with teaching me how to hit it across, even if I couldn't. And they gave me a second chance.
That's awesome. Yes, that's great. All right. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness. Kindness? Oh, kindness. All right. You got a kindness one. All right. Awesome.
So when I was walking here, like, so I don't know his name, but some guy kind of like held the door for both of us. Like, even though I was like 10 feet behind him, he still waited for me.
All right. Yeah. Just those simple acts of kindness. That's awesome. There you go, man. Yes. And you know what's, I don't have to use both of these. Okay, you know what's really cool about kindness is that sometimes a little act of kindness that you do, you have no idea how much that could affect someone. You don't know what their day's been like. You don't know what they're going through. And just that one act of kindness can make a huge difference in someone's life. So that's awesome. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Now we're on goodness, right? Goodness. Yeah, goodness. All right, we got a goodness one back there. Oh, my goodness. Okay, goodness, there you go.
So I was going to go on a boat, on a kayak for my free time, and my friend Brayden, he just got his shoes on, and even though he just got his shoes on and his clothes on and stuff, he was willing to get wet and go on the kayak with me so that we could go on the kayak together.
Awesome. That's great. Yeah, that's awesome. Good story. Thank you. That is some goodness. Yeah, awesome. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness. We got another faithful. All right. Faithfulness story. Making me get my workout. Yeah. Then I can eat the rest of these Starbursts.
Every night for cabin time, our counselors are always being faithful, getting us to answer the questions.
Ah, sometimes that requires a lot of faithfulness from your counselors, doesn't it? Yes, that's awesome. Yes. All right, grab one of those. So, hey, how about a round of applause for your faithful counselors this week? They are doing work. Woo! We love you guys. We love you. All right. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Gentleness. Who's got a good gentleness story? You got one? No, no. All right. Oh, all right. All right. I see that hand. Here, pass that on down.
I got stories.
So, in the nature center, it's kind of amazing how the people who work there are rather gentle with all the animals that they have in it. And it's just kind of great how they're able to help other animals and keep those animals so well.
Hmm. That's awesome.
Fire.
Yeah, that is. That's great. That's a great example. Here you go. All right, nice. You know, there's a proverb that talks about like how someone treats animals tells us kind of about that person's character. You know what I mean? And so we are supposed to be stewards of this world that God has put us in charge of. And so treating animals and treating nature well, not littering, those kinds of things, that's being good stewards of what God has given us. That's awesome. All right, last one, self-control. Who? All right here.
So when we take a really long time in our cabin, like getting ready for the day, sometimes we take a really long time getting ready for the day, but most of the time, like whenever just one of us is waiting, One of us is getting ready, all of us will stay behind and have self-control instead of running ahead to the next activity.
That's awesome. Yeah, waiting for that last person. That's great. Good example. Thank you for sharing. Good job, you guys. Good job, you guys. All right. Do you want to turn this off, maybe? Ready? No, just kidding. Just kidding. All right. Well, I wanted to talk more about fruit tonight because there are so many different examples of fruit in the Bible. And so obviously we heard some great examples. And I hope you had your eyes open for fruit today. And I hope you've been thinking about that. Even maybe some that you see in your own life and some that you want to see more of in your own life. Again, we counted like between 5 and 8 fruits in our passage in John 15, but we're going to go find some fruit in a few other passages. So turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. All right, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. All right, Colossians. So it's towards the end of your Bibles. Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 10. Colossians 3:10. And remember, we're talking about fruit. And we're going to see some examples of fruit that God wants to produce in our lives. Colossians 3, starting in verse 10. It says, "Put on your new nature." Kind of like those four put on those frozen shirts, all right? Except the new nature is way more comfortable, all right? But put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. That's cool. Learn to know your Creator and become like Him. Wow. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free, Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Now, it's important to remember, He's writing this to a Christian church. So He's talking about people that are Christians. Christ doesn't live in all people of the world. In fact, the Bible tells us that we are born sinful and separated from God. And so we have to know who the Bible is talking to when it says things like this. But the great news of the gospel is that anyone and everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ can have Christ living in them. Verse 12 goes on, since God chose you to be the holy people He loves. Now, we're just going to stop right there. God chose those who trust in Him to be the holy people that He loves. Now, holy, that's a word we hear a lot about in the Bible, right? Holy, 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 right? We sing hymns about it. We use that word a lot, but sometimes it's kind of fuzzy. What does holiness, what does holy mean? And what the word holy means is it actually, so sometimes we think it means like being perfect or being like righteous, or we even have that saying holier than thou, like thinking you're better than other people. But really the word holy means set apart. Set apart. It's like when you get a new iPhone or an iPod for Christmas or for your birthday, and you take really good care of that thing. You hold on to it. And when you're not using it, you put it somewhere safe. You want to take care of it. You set it apart because it's for your special use. Right? Holy means that we are set apart. We're chosen by God because we're precious to Him. That's what holy means, you guys. We're set apart, chosen by God. And so that's what it says. Since God chose you to be the holy people that He loves. Guys, God loves you. And we're talking about fruit. We're talking about things that God wants to produce in our lives. But remember, it's all because He loves us. It's all because He wants what's best for us. It's not a bunch of rules that's like, okay, follow the rules, you know? That's not what God is trying to do in our lives. And so it goes on to give us some examples of fruit. Since God chose you to be the holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness. Now, we've heard kindness before, right? Mercy, that one is a new one. Humility, gentleness, and patience. So we've heard gentleness, patience, and kindness, but mercy and humility are new. Now, mercy means not giving someone what they deserve, like in a bad way. Like if someone does something mean to you, you know, like doing something mean back, that would not be mercy. Or if you do something wrong and break the rules, and instead of your parents or your teachers giving you the punishment that you deserve, they say, you know what, I'm going to give you another chance. That's mercy. You deserved the punishment, but you didn't get what you deserved. And then grace, when we talk about that word grace, grace means getting what you don't deserve. Like Christ's righteousness given to you by faith. You don't deserve to have His record of righteousness applied to you, but God gives it to us by grace through faith. That's grace, giving us what we don't deserve. And then humility. Humility is maybe kind of it's a pretty foundational fruit, because pride is the sin that keeps us apart from God. We think that we know the better way to live. We think that we should be God. That was the first sin, right? When Adam and Eve were in the garden and Satan was tempting them, and he said, "Oh, you're not going to die if you eat the fruit. God knows that when you eat it, you will become like him." And they were like, "We could be gods?" Lie. But that's still the root sin. And in fact, in one of Jesus' most famous sermons, the Sermon on the Mount, he starts with the Beatitudes, these ways of being that define someone who's a follower of Jesus. And the first one is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." That's humility, guys. When we understand who we are before a holy and perfect God, and we realize that he is God and we are not, and that there's this separation, that the only thing that can bridge that gap is Jesus. That's humility. And one of my favorite quotes about humility is that humility is not thinking less of yourself. So humility is not constantly putting yourself down like, "Yeah, I'm so stupid. I really stink at everything." That's not humility. In fact, that's almost like attention seeking. That's like the flip side of boastful pride, is the kind that you're always trying to get people to build you up. You know what I mean? And so humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's just thinking of yourself less. It's not thinking about you at all, because it's not about you. It's about God. And it's about what he thinks of you. That's where our identity needs to come from. What God says is true about us. And what's awesome is when we trust in Jesus. Do you guys remember, some of you guys have heard the story maybe about Jesus' baptism, when he was baptized? All right, and there was this voice from heaven, God the Father, and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." If you are trusting in Jesus Christ today, that's what God the Father says about you. You are my beloved Son. You are my beloved daughter. And in you, I am well pleased. That is amazing news. That's what needs to form our identity. All right, so let's look for a few other fruit that we see, all right, in the New Testament. So the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. Maybe you've heard of those terms, all right? The Great Commandment is repeated in a number of the Gospels, Mark 12, Matthew 22. I think it's in Luke as well. So, but the Great Commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, sometimes we summarize that as love God, love others, but we're missing a love when we just say two. Love God, love yourself, and love others. Because it says, love your neighbor as yourself. Guys, if you can't love yourself, you're disagreeing with God, and you're going to have a hard time loving your neighbor. Because if you don't love yourself and you try to love your neighbor as you don't really love yourself, it's not going to work. Guys, loving yourself is about agreeing with God. God made you, and God doesn't make mistakes. He loves you. And so love God, love yourself, and love others. But guys, even though it's called the Great Commandment, it's fruit. It's not something that we just have to like, man, I'm really going to try hard to love today. Yes, it requires effort. It is work. But the main work is staying connected to Jesus so that his love is flowing into our lives, and then it overflows into the lives of the people around us. Receive love from God and then let it flow through us to ourselves and to others. And then there's the Great Commission, where Jesus, after he rose from the dead, he came to his disciples and he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Now go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Disciples make disciples. If we're following Jesus, then he wants us to be about helping more people follow Jesus, telling people about him. Who do you have in your life right now that God has put you in their life so that you can tell them about Jesus? It's not your job to save them, so the pressure's off. We don't save anybody. God is the one who saves. He's the only one who saves. We just get to be the messengers. We just get to tell people. And so if they say no, if they reject the message, they're not rejecting us, they're rejecting God. And that's between them and God. But it's our job to plant those seeds. And again, seeds are something that happens in when we're fruitful, right? So all of the commandments, I guess what I'm trying to say to you guys is all of the commandments in the Bible are fruit. So it's not just a to-do list, like do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, and just like this like big, huge list, and it's like, oh my gosh, there's so many, I could never possibly do that all. The one thing, you guys, that will help you obey all of those commands is if you remain in Jesus. Remain connected to the vine. That is the one command that you focus on, and all the other commands will come pouring out of your life. Because that's what Jesus does. So, for the last bit of time we have left, I want to talk about one more specific fruit. And we're going to spend some time separated as guys and girls tonight talking about this a little bit more. And that fruit is purity. Purity. All right? I know at your age, it's just starting to become kind of a thing where you're noticing boys or you're noticing girls. You're starting to be attracted. You're starting to think about relationships. And purity is a fruit that God wants to work in our lives. And again, it's not about a list of do's and don'ts. It's about who you are in Jesus and understanding how much God loves you and understanding how he designed relationships and sex to work. And so why don't you guys start flipping to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. That's the last passage we're going to look at tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. All right, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 9. As you keep turning there, I want to just kind of set a foundation for how God designed sex and a relationship between a man and a woman to work, okay? So in Genesis, God created one man and one woman. And actually, he is the one who brought the woman to the man. God walked the first bride down the aisle. Yes. Yes. The Father walking the bride down the aisle. And in Genesis 2, 18 to 25, we learn that God designed marriage as a one flesh union between one man and one woman for life. And we also learn that nakedness is not something that is shameful in marriage. That's the last verse of chapter 2, in fact. It says, the man and his wife were naked and they knew no shame. They were shameless. They didn't have anything to hide from each other. And then, of course, we know what happened, that Satan tempted them. And the first thing they did is they realized they were naked and they hid from each other and they hid from God. But now marriage is like God reversing the curse, reversing the fall, and bringing us back together into that one flesh union. And one flesh isn't just about physical intimacy, it's about mental and emotional and spiritual intimacy with one other person of the opposite sex. Proverbs 5, 15 to 19 says that sex is a good gift from God, and it's to be enjoyed in marriage. Sex isn't something dirty. It's not something that we have to be ashamed of. Sex is God's idea, and it's great. It's a beautiful gift, but it's to be enjoyed in marriage. I've heard the analogy of it being like a fire. Fires are awesome. Like, you guys had campfires last night, right? And you roasted s'mores. Or when you're really cold and you come in from a winter day and you get to go around the fire and it's in a fireplace. It's so good. It's so life-giving. I can just sit and look at a fire for hours. It's fascinating. It's powerful. It's good. But if a fire gets out of control or out of where it's supposed to be, it's destructive. It damages. There's been forest fires raging in places of our own country that have destroyed thousands of acres, homes. People have lost their lives. And so fire is good when it's kept where it's supposed to be. The Song of Songs in the Old Testament is an entire book of the Bible that records romantic poetry between a man and woman as they pursue marriage. An entire book of the Bible is all about this romantic poetry. And then we have 1 Corinthians 6, which we're going to jump into in just a moment. But Ephesians 5:3 says, God does not want there to be even a hint of sexual immorality among his people. Not even a hint. Like, no dirty jokes. No lustful looks. Right? In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, if someone looks at a woman lustfully, it's like he's committed adultery with her in his heart. Hebrews 13:4 says that marriage is supposed to be held in honor by all, and that the marriage bed is to be kept pure, meaning that you're supposed to wait until you're married to have sex. And it also says that God will judge sexual immorality and adultery. Now, thankfully, there is forgiveness for all sins. There is no unforgivable sin except for willful unbelief in Jesus. All other sins can be forgiven and have been paid for on the cross. And then finally, the last verse I wanted to share with you guys before we jump into 1 Corinthians 6 is 1 Timothy 4:12. This is a really cool one. So listen up, you guys. It's, let no one despise you for your youth. This is to you guys. Let no one despise you for your youth, but instead set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You guys can be an example to all of the believers in your life, younger than you, older than you, of what it looks like to follow God in purity. You guys can set an example for me, for your counselors, for the adults back at your church, by how you pursue God by pursuing purity. All right, 1 Corinthians 6. Let's just walk through this, all right? This is a really cool passage, starting in verse 9. Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin or who worship idols or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Sounds pretty harsh. But then listen to what he says. He says, some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. There's that word again. You were set apart by God for special use. Not for doing that stuff anymore. For special use. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. That's the gospel right there. All right? And then he goes on. You say, I'm allowed to do anything. But not everything is good for you. And even though I'm allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You say food was made for the stomach and the stomach for food. This was kind of a way they had of like, it doesn't matter what I do with my body. You know, I can be forgiven, or my body's really not that important. And then he says, this is true, though someday God will do away with both of them, both food and the stomach. But you can't say that our bodies were made for sexual immorality. They were made for the Lord. And the Lord cares about our bodies. The Lord cares about your body. And God will raise us from the dead by his power, just as he raised our Lord from the dead. We are going to live in bodies forever, you guys. We're not just going to be these disembodied spirits floating around on clouds. We will live in bodies on a new heaven and a new earth where there won't be any sickness, there won't be any pain, there won't be any cancer, there won't be any tears. And our bodies will not break down. But we will live in bodies. God cares about our bodies, and he cares about how we use them. Don't you realize that your bodies are actually parts of Christ? And again, he's writing to a church, so he's talking to Christians. What do we call the church sometimes? We call it the body of Christ. If you're a Christian, you are a part of the body of Christ. Should a man take his body, which is part of Christ, and join it to a prostitute? Never. And don't you realize that if a man joins himself to a prostitute, he becomes one body with her? For the scriptures say the two are united into one. Talking all the way back to Genesis 2. They're united into one. But the person who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Run from sexual sin. Run. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with a high price, the price of his own son. So you must honor God with your body. I love that. You don't belong to yourself. It's not your body to do whatever you want with. If you are a Christian, God has bought you with a price, and you are holy. He set you apart. He cares about you. He cares about your body. And he wants you to use it to honor him. And that's what is best for you. And so we're going to spend some more time thinking about that this evening. As the worship team comes on up for one more song, I just want to encourage you guys to, again, make use of the boards if you want to, especially in this area of your identity in Christ and the area of purity. And your counselors, me, all the adults in this room know the struggle of purity. And so if you need to talk to somebody tonight, find someone to talk to. You're not alone in the struggle. God cares. And you can be forgiven and you can be cleansed from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. That you made us to be with you. Thank you that you created our bodies, and that for those of us who are trusting and following you, Jesus, God, you bought us with a high price. Christ's own blood poured out for us. And so our bodies are not our own. They're yours, God. And so help us to give ourselves to you in worship as living sacrifices. And so, God, would you work purity in each one of us, young and old, no matter what we have experienced, no matter what's been done to us or what we have done, God, we can be cleansed. You can purify us. Thank you that you are powerful and mighty to save. Thank you that you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.